The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly, tell me that you are not having a little tear after that story.
I didn't hear a thing. I just got in on my music. What am I supposed to be crying about? And I will have a tear.
I posted on my Facebook page. Go have a look, and then you can tell us tomorrow if you didn't cry a little bit. All right?
Are you kidding me? I'm going immediately. You can't. You know. You can't do this to me, Benji. Were you?
Well, you should have been listening. It was a very good story, and I narrated it beautifully.
No.
Are you looking at it right now?
I am looking at the, I love the dog. I love these two boys. And yes, I do have a tear in my eye.
Well, there you go. So a good way to start the Israel Report.
This is what, human nature is all about. The last R7 to save the life of their neighbor's dog. I mean, come on, South Africans, let's help them out.
Yeah, it's great. And perhaps we can help them out, Ro, with a small portion of $3.2 billion. That PepsiCo used to buy SodaStream.
Is it not extraordinary? And PepsiCo, there are two little boys in South Africa that could use a smidgen of your earnings. An incredible moment for Israel, an incredible moment for SodaStream, and a real, can we say a real zap in the face of BDS. But if you haven't heard it, is the news that ricocheted all over Israel today, that Israel's SodaStream has been bought by PepsiCo for $3.2 billion. That is $3.2 billion. And the best thing about this, Benji, is that PepsiCo want to keep SodaStream as it is, which means that they will keep the infrastructure, the headquarters in Israel. And not only that, is that they do not want to lay off any of Israel's workers. It is absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, great story there. For a product which is very, very popular amongst different people, SodaStream, of course, is a way that you can carbonate your drinks without having to actually buy carbonated drinks. So it's a great news story, and good to see that they're keeping it at home.
Absolutely, and SodaStream is a great example of what success can bring when you build bridges instead of boycott. I know SodaStream has had quite a difficult journey as far as that is concerned, but yes, they have said that their focus is well aligned with performance, with purpose. They want to make more nutritious products. They have shown this both by the product that they have produced, and also by the way that they have treated their workers. It's environmentally friendly, and really, really a moment of great pride for all of us in Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. A great, great purchase there. Now, let me tell you a little story, Rolene. Every Shabbat, when I go to shul, when there's a moment in the service that's a little bit quiet, and my friend and I take out the weekly email from this very person who died this week, and then have an argument about it in shul, sometimes a little bit too loudly for our own good, that the rabbi sometimes hears. But we never do it during the drosha, I promise, Rabbi. He died this week, not this week, but recently. His name is Uri Avneri, and he was a very controversial peace activist. And last week he wrote his final email. Up to the age of 94, he was writing a weekly email with very, very, whether you agreed with it or not, lucid analysis of politics. And he's very much been a feature of the Israeli political establishment basically since the founding of the state in 48.
Well, absolutely, and he died today at the age of 94. He's a veteran left-wing journalist, lawmaker, peace activist. He was one of the founders of the Gush Shalom peace movement, and he was actually one of the first Israelis to actively advocate for the establishment of a Palestinian state, and this is more than 70 years ago. Now, Bej, as I'm sure you've had debates around the Shabbat table, as we all have, and we frequently talk about it, is there still a future for the two-state solution? And Uri Avneri was a great proponent of that solution. And just to have a look back on his life as a young person during his youth, he fought with the Irgun's pre-state underground militia. He was also moved more to the left as he got older in his life. He was also editor-in-chief of the very iconic and very liberal weekly Ha'olam Hazeh, and this was for over 40 years. And he was very, very happy to be controversial. And many of his supporters saw his ideas as groundbreaking, and his detractors denounced him as an enemy of the people. You know, I would be very curious to hear him go up against somebody, or to have gone up against somebody, say like a Martin Sherman, who's got completely divergent opinions. But definitely a great part of the fabric of Israeli society. And in fact, he was one of the first to actually meet Yasser Arafat. And he has asked, his dying wish is for him to be cremated and for his archives to be donated to the National Library, and any money that he has towards peace activism. So a very divisive person, not a Sabra. He was born in Germany in 1923 as Helmut Ostermann, and he grew up in Hanover. His family immigrated to British Mandatory Palestine in 1933, and the family lived in Tel Aviv, where he lived until he died the early hours of this morning.
And interestingly, just even though he was very strongly left-wing, the most strongly left-wing, he always opposed BDS as a concept, and the attempt to destroy Israel through boycotts. And he has, if you want to read the most left-wing argument that you can read against BDS, he probably makes it, and makes it the best. So it's worth reading as well from that perspective.
Well, and it's proof that you can have divergent opinions to what many say is policy of Israel, but still understand that BDS is inherently anti-Semitic, racist, and destructive. And we've seen today how you can build those bridges with the incredible acquisition of SodaStream. I wonder what he would have said about that.
Indeed, super, super interesting, and a loss to Israel for that particular voice. Now, you would have thought that everyone would be happy that the Israelis and Hamas had managed to find a truce, but it turns out that the dude on the other side is not that impressed. Mahmoud Abbas saying that he's rejecting this seems little bit not cool.
Not cool and very ferribald, Benji. I mean, I'm sure you all know what the word ferribald means, but yes, Mahmoud let me put my teeth back in. I'm still so moved about the story with the dog. I've actually got such a lump in my throat. But Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has roundly rejected the Egyptian brokered truce between Israel and Hamas, and this was to try and end the recent escalation of violence. And it has created a lot of tension between Ramallah and Cairo. And Abbas insists that the Egyptian diplomats prioritize reconciliation between his Fatah party and Hamas, and that the Palestine Liberation Organization, of which the Fatah party is still a part of, and which he chairs, plays a more important role in agreeing to the ceasefire. And he went as far as to refuse to meet the visiting Egyptian intelligence chief, Major General Abbas Kamel, last week. And sources within the Palestinian Authority say that relations between the Palestinian Authority and Egypt are very, very tense at the moment. And it's been quite a endeavor by the Egyptians, you know, shuttle diplomacy. Not only do they have to try and broker some kind of lasting ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas and try and improve the situation for Gazans in the Strip, but now they have this added element of Mahmoud Abbas saying, I will just not cooperate and I just will not meet you.
Yep, super useful as ever is Mahmoud Abbas. Ro, thank you very much for bringing us the Israel Report. I won't actually chat to you tomorrow. Kathy Kayla's back, but you'll be back with the Israel Report.
I will be back tomorrow. And Benj, it has been an absolute pleasure sitting and chatting to you and bringing the Israel Report to you the last couple of weeks. And I look forward to speaking to you sometime in the future. Go well. God bless.
Thank you so much, Rolene. That was your Israel Report.